Welcome, welcome, ladies and gents, to another exciting episode of the Front Stretch Podcast. As usual, I'm Matt Stalnick, here with my partner in crime, Mike Neff. The chase for the NASCAR Sprint Cup is officially set as the regular season finale at Richmond came and went, leaving us with 16 drivers with a fresh shot at winning a championship. One of those drivers was Matt Kenseth, who smoked the field in Richmond to pick up his fourth victory of the season, which placed him in a tie for first place with Kyle Busch and Jimmy Johnson atop the Chase standings heading into the Chase opener at Chicagoland. So, Mike, let's start just by quickly recapping Richmond. New tire, same aero package, same Joe Gibbs Racing, and to a lesser extent, Team Penske domination. What did you make of Saturday night's race as well as Kenseth's title chances going forward here? I mean, he just absolutely smoked the field, and Joe Gibbs Racing in general was absolutely pretty much flawless all night long. Are we pretty much looking at this as JGR's chase to lose now going forward?
We just got done with Overreaction Monday in the NFL, where everybody is already crowning who's going to the Super Bowl and who's going to be terrible. Before you head to the chase, there's always teams that are on a roll, and there is no doubt JGR is on a roll, and Penske's right there with them. SHR has stumbled a little bit, and Hendrick's looking a little bit lost. But at this point, the races start to matter again, and I'm going to withhold opinion for 2 or 3 weeks here. I honestly think when you go through the first round of the playoffs, it's probably going to be pretty status quo. The guys that were battling to get in, for the most part, will probably be the guys that are going to be out after the first round, or maybe one exception. But for the most part, I'm not ready to just throw it all in and hand the four spots in Homestead to JGR and Penske yet. So we will see. As far as the race went, it was one of those deals. I actually thought the racing itself wasn't terrible if you took Matt Kenseth's dominance out of the mix. There was some three-wide action throughout the pack for much of the night. There was some two-wide racing that lasted a lap or two. It's still not Richmond. And I hope when the new aero package gets here, it will get back to being Richmond, where you had cars run side by side for double-digit laps trying to make passes. But as the 2015 package goes, I thought it was probably one of the better races back in the field. Unfortunately, we just had Matt Kenseth, who completely dominated the event.
Yeah, I actually didn't watch the race live. I watched the race on DVR, and I saw all the reaction to the race first, and then went into the race watching it, kind of having a sense of what everyone thought of the race going in. And I was expecting a much worse race than what I actually saw. It was, by recent Richmond standards, it was pretty decent, I thought. Like I said, I think this was more of a case of not everyone could be a classic. I don't think there was anything inherently wrong with the actual racing itself. It was just that, there's going to be races where, one guy tends to dominate and there's not a ton of cautions and there's just not a ton of guys who are out there can challenge, and you end up with a, kind of a lackluster race from that perspective. But in terms of the actual car's physical ability to race one another, I thought personally it was one of the best Richmond races in a while, strictly from that perspective. It really just seemed like guys could make passes, they could get up behind each other, tires definitely seemed to matter. So there was a lot to be encouraged about, I think, from a racing perspective. But like I said, not every race can be a classic, and Richmond has had its issues lately. And I'm hoping that going forward at Richmond, we can get back to kind of the racing that we're all used to, because that's at one time that was one of the marquee stops on the circuit and one of the can't miss races, as I'm sure you and I both remember. But
Yeah, absolutely. It used to be my favorite track.
yeah.
And the one thing I was encouraged about on Sunday or Saturday night, and it was primarily just because Kenseth had the dominant car, but we had five on-track passes for the lead that didn't happen immediately surrounding a restart. And so as races have gone this year, that's one of the higher numbers with the new package. So it was encouraging. I felt like the tire was headed back in the right direction. Obviously, with the new package next year, they're probably going to have to redesign it again. But hopefully they'll lean on what they had, because I felt like tires mattered some. They still need to wear out a little bit more for my liking, but there was definite fall off. It's just a matter of, can we get it to where you have fall off, but people can conserve and have it actually make a difference.
Yeah, certainly. I was encouraged, and I think it's just another step in the right direction. It really, for the first time in a while, it does seem to feel like the sport's heading in a good direction, racing wise, on a couple of different fronts. And I don't know. Like I said, I was encouraged. I came into the race with lower expectations than usual, simply because of what everyone had said about it. And I like I said, I enjoyed the race for the most part. wasn't the greatest race I've ever seen, but the biggest story to come out of the race, aside from all of the chase, pageantry and all that, with 16 drivers all locking up spots, was that final restart. What was your take on the final restart of the race for any of the folks that missed it at home? Matt Kenseth was the leader on the final restart of the race, I believe about 20 laps to go, and he jumped the start by pretty much a mile. It wasn't even really close. And NASCAR, once again, as we've seen now a couple times this season, did not penalize him, and then backed up their decision to do so, calling it a balls and strikes call. So what was your take on that real quick before we dive into some of this chase preview discussion?
Yeah, it's hard to say he jumped it by a mile when you weren't on a mile track, but I know where
you're
coming from.
A little hyperbole there.
It was a solid four car lengths before the line. And NASCAR has all the wiggle room in the world because the rule says in the vicinity of the box. I don't know why they've seemed to be making the boxes smaller and smaller these days, to where the box at Richmond, I swear, couldn't have been more than 2.5 car lengths long. So there, it gets to the point where there's nothing that the leader can do to differentiate, and the guy on the outside can take off, which is what Logano had done all night. So Kenseth made sure that he didn't go second that time. And I don't blame him for it. And I've been having some discussions with different members of the media this week about that incident. And I can't remember the last time a Cup driver was penalized for jumping a restart. I know we've had it. We had it at Bristol in the trucks, which is what started the whole recent discussion about them. We've had it in the Xfinity Series in Indianapolis not that long ago. But I cannot remember the last time somebody in a Cup race got called for it. So I don't blame Kenseth for doing it. We saw Carl Edwards do it at Richmond a few years back, and he jumped further than that and was allowed to get away with it. So I don't blame him. Something has to be done. I don't know what that is. I personally am a fan of the Delaware restart so that we take this all out of the mix, puts the leader in front by himself, and then second and third line up side by side on back to the field. I think that would eliminate any shenanigans from going on. But NASCAR's got to do something. And I don't feel like, I've heard all sorts of people recommending we do things with rev limiters and all sorts of new rules. All we have to do is enforce the rules. If NASCAR makes the call one time on a guy jumping early and they wave the start off, they throw him to the back, it's done. Everybody will start playing by the rules. But until the rules are enforced the way they're written, I think it's all just a bunch of hot air and they're never going to fix anything.
Yeah, to put a period on this issue, I think this is one of those issues that they need to tighten up. I mean, by my eyeball test, Kenseth completely jumped on that restart. To me, it really wasn't even close. I thought he should have been penalized. I get that they're giving these guys more leeway, but the drivers have come right out and said, listen, we can't police ourselves on this. Guys are going to be taking advantage of it. And if I'm in Matt Kenseth's situation, I am going to take advantage of it. Because
absolutely,
they're showing that they're not penalizing the Cup guys, at least, for jumping restarts. And I know that if I'm a driver and I have to put NASCAR in the position of taking a win away, basically, and not taking a win away, I'm going to take the chance of them, going into conflict mode over whether or not they have to take a win away from someone, because they're not going to do that. So I don't know. They got to tighten it up. They got to make the rule more clear. If it means make the box bigger or smaller, or make it so that it just seems like this is an issue where it's been overcomplicated. This doesn't seem like a real difficult issue. Like if you go before this particular line, it's a penalty. If you go after it, it's legal. I don't know why it's become such a ridiculous, issue on the track, but it has. And NASCAR needs to take it out of the driver's hands in this particular instance. I mean, I'm not a big fan of NASCAR policing every little thing, but this particular issue has gotten completely out of hand, and I think something needs to be done about it.
And it's simply because they don't enforce the rule.
Yeah.
If they enforce the rule the way it's written, none of this would be going on.
Yeah, I mean, this is just a case, an example in my case of NASCAR's inconsistency. I mean, we see this a lot with officiating. A lot of people like to call NASCAR out as being, you know, conspiracies with debris cautions and some of this stuff. But what it really comes down to is just straight up inconsistency. That it, I mean, from debris cautions to this, inconsistency has plagued this sport now for quite a while. And this is just one more case of it. And if you want to be taken seriously by people in the media, your drivers, all your stakeholders, you got to be more consistent. And this is one of those cases where it's just, it's so obvious. And I'm hoping something gets done. I mean, there's a lot of pressure coming from the drivers right now, and with how unified the drivers are with the drivers council, I have a feeling this is going to be an issue that gets addressed pretty quickly, but we'll see.
It has to. I mean, you're coming down to the championship here, and you're going to see somebody steal a championship unless they enforce the rules properly.
Yeah. And that's not, and you can't, we can't have that. I mean, that's like, nope. That's like the NCAA tournament being, you know, coming down to a Bosch foul call. And we've seen that happen before, and it led to a shitstorm in the past. So I'm hoping it gets buttoned up. I think it will eventually here get buttoned up, but it's wake up call time, I think, as far as that goes. But we'll see. Speaking of the chase, we got all of our 16 drivers now set. As far as who advanced last week, Jeff Gordon, Jamie McMurray, Paul Menard, Clint Bowyer, all locked up spots as the winless drivers who got in. We got three races in this challenger round coming up here, Mike. We got first week, Chicagoland. Second week, we got New Hampshire. Third week, Dover. Who do you see advancing out of this round, and who do you think right now is in trouble?
I think it's a layup that you see Kyle Busch and Jimmy Johnson go out, because I know Busch hasn't won at Chicagoland yet in his career, but it's a mile and a half with the new engine and aero package, so I think... I just think that sets up for him perfectly. New Hampshire will be interesting, but we go to Dover. We know Jimmy Johnson will come out with the win in Dover. So that'll be two of your three right there. I wouldn't be surprised to see Kurt Busch or Denny Hamlin win at New Hampshire. They're both really good on flat type ovals. Or Carl Edwards, guys like that are good on or not Carl Edwards, Kurt Busch are good on those flat tracks, and you could see them advancing on the win side of things. On the guys that are going to drop out, Menard wouldn't surprise me at all. He's notoriously been a quick starter and fallen off at the end. His collapse just kind of came, or fall off, not collapse, because he's still running halfway decent. But his fall off came late enough in the season that he made it into the chase, albeit limping in. So it wouldn't surprise me, unless they improve at RCR in general and in his car in particular, it wouldn't surprise me to see them drop out after the first round. Same thing. Unfortunately, you got to feel that way with Jeff Gordon. I know he had a couple decent runs here at Darlington and Richmond where he was up kind of battling it, but he's just had bad luck. He's had bad pit calls. I just feel like the stars are just not aligning, and he would be one that I could certainly see not making it past the first round. The interesting one I feel like we could see fall out is Carl Edwards. I just have this feeling that you've got the four JGR cars, and Kenseth, Busch, and Hamlin have all been running strong. Edwards is just kind of that, just a tick off. He's not bad by any stretch of the imagination. We saw all four of them in the top four this weekend. But I could just picture Edwards having these runs where he's like 7th, 8th, 9th when everybody else is top 6, that he gets caught up in something where somebody's really pushing hard, trying to press an issue because maybe they had a bad run or something, and he gets caught up in somebody else's stuff and ends up not being able to recover. So that's one that I could see, because invariably that happens. You get one person in that first or second round that you really saw going a long way that ends up getting knocked out.
Yeah, I mean, it's just kind of like forecasting the NCAA tournament. You know, you got to kind of always account for one of the so-called higher seeds falling out, so to speak. Right now, I'm taking a look at the standings, and one thing I also want to button up real quick, Ryan Newman was another driver who advanced into the final 16. I forgot to mention him earlier when I was going down my chase rundown earlier. But anyway, looking through here, the biggest thing that stands out to me is a lot more parity in the middle at the top this year than I think last year. There's, I would say, at least seven drivers who I think have a compelling case as far as being a deserving champion. I think Johnson, Busch, both Bushes, Kenseth, Logano, Harvick, Earnhardt Jr. I might even throw Truex or Keselowski into that group, who, you know, provided they have a good run of the chase, would all be a deserving champion, I think. So that's eight guys, at least eight to even nine guys who I think have a compelling case for a championship here, and I think could do it. And you got to think that at least one of those guys, maybe it's not the first round, but at least in the second round, is probably going to run into some sort of trouble. I think with how tight it is this year, even with those lower guys, you know, like your Gordons, your Newmans, Boyer, I mean, they're all running in the top 15 on a week-to-week basis lately. I mean, there's really no true weak link in this chase, really, other than Paul Menard. I think Menard is, I see him falling out pretty easily. But unlike last year, where we had three guys who got into the chase via relatively fluke victories, they all won on wild card racetracks. Kurt Busch won at Martinsville. AJ Allmendinger won at, where was it? Watkins Glen.
Watkins Glen.
Yeah. And Almirola snuck in with a Daytona win. And those three tracks are all wild card, you know, facilities where anyone can win. Anyone can win at those three tracks, really. And that they're not necessarily representative of the whole schedule. So we didn't really get that this year. You know, the guys who were winning on the wild card races were the guys who were running up front really everywhere else, which is generally what you usually see anyway. You know, Logano won at Watkins Glen, Jr. won two out of three plate races. Martinsville, that went to Hamlin earlier this year. He's run pretty well. So I just don't know. I really feel like, to your point, an Edwards, a Keselowski, maybe a Kurt Busch, someone, maybe a Truex, somebody in that group, I think, could end up falling out in that first round along with Menard. I don't think Newman's going to make it past that first round this year. I just don't. RCR has been so far off the mark. But I would look at those one-win guys, Truex, Hamlin, Keselowski. I think pick one of those guys. I think one of them will fall out because I do see someone like Gordon or Boyer at least top 10-ing them to death and then advancing to the next round. Personally, I think it could be Martin Truex Jr. They haven't run especially well as of late. I almost kind of envision a Red Bull 2009 kind of run where they used up so many resources just trying to get into the chase that
right.
They're going to be like kind of left out once they get there and the super teams kind of take over. We'll see. Right now, I am projecting Menard, Newman. Right now, I'm going to say Truex. And as much as I think McMurray could surprise some people, I think McMurray is probably going to be out too. He actually hasn't been running as strong as he was, ironically, as he was last year. So that's my first four out. But like I said, I think anyone with two or more wins is probably safe just because those 6 to 9 bonus points and above are really going to play a big factor since it's only three races. But anyone from the middle, like the lower middle part of the table down, really needs to button up heading into the next couple weeks because there's no room for error. I mean, you get one bad race in this system and it could be the end of your run, which, you know, it makes it exciting on one end and it makes it very tough on the drivers. So I think it's going to be really interesting. I think Chicagoland shouldn't be too crazy, you know, unless someone has an engine failure or something of that nature. New Hampshire, I think, is going to be the big wild card in this round. Just because a lot of weird stuff can happen at that track. Track can clog up real quick. Same with Dover, really. So I'm intrigued. I'm very intrigued. Now, looking more towards the top of the table here, just kind of previewing what the chase is going to kind of look like. We got Johnson, Busch, Kenseth are tied at the lead. And then right behind them, we got Logano with 3 wins, 9 bonus points. He's in fourth. And then right behind him, you got Harvick, Earnhardt Jr., Busch, and Edwards, rounding out the guys with multiple wins. I think out of that group, your champion is probably going to be in that little crowd there. Would you agree? I mean, I
you
have
would
to
think.
Imagine.
I mean, just at first blush, at this point in time, those are the guys that are running the best. Those are the guys that have been the strongest pretty much all season. So, yeah, I agree. You're going to most likely see out of them. There's always that possibility that one of the lower guys, you know, hits it right. I mean, well, yeah, we saw Stewart limp in and then win half of the chase races. So it absolutely could happen that somebody below that catches fire. But just from a realistic standpoint, you got to think. And my final four, the final four is kind of tough.
Yeah.
Final three was easy. I think you've got Busch and Kenseth from the JGR camp, and I think you have Harvick from the SHR camp. That fourth slot is kind of up in the air. I don't think Hamlin's going to make it. I feel like that knee thing is going to take the toll on him. I could see Earnhardt easing in there. You could see Johnson easing in there. Or Kurt Busch easing in there. Any of those three guys I picture making it into the final four. So that's where it's a little up in the air. But yeah, I agree. The top six or seven guys have been running the best all season. And I didn't even mention Logano in that mix.
Yeah, I think he's a lock, personally.
I'd like to think he's a lock, but it's still a matter of you got to get there to do it and lose a couple before you win one. And I don't know if he's going to make the final four. It would seem logical that he would. I feel like Penske's going to have somebody there, but I also feel like Hendrick's going to. And I feel like that could be the one that pushes the Penske car out.
Yeah, I mean, there's not a lot of room at the end. It's only four spots.
Oh, when you cut it down to four spots, there isn't a lot of room.
I mean, entering last season, going into the chase last year, it was pretty cut and dry. I mean, Gordon was running so well. Didn't end up making it, but he was running really well. So was Junior. Logano and Harvick were pretty much considered to be locks going in. No one really forecasted Hamlin and Newman to make it, but there wasn't a whole lot of, you know, discussion beyond the guys who we all pretty much thought were going to get there. This year, I legitimately see nine cars who all have not just a shot to make it to the final four, who all really, I think, would be a deserving champion. Which is a comforting statement to say right now, just because I think there's so much parity right now from the, like I said, that middle to the top. Right now, I'm going to say Logano and Harvick, I think, are locks. I shouldn't say locks. I don't know if anyone's a lock with this format, just like the NCAA tournament. Right. No one's really a lock. And that's, I think, the most apt comparison to this system, just because of how easy it is to fall out. You know, one bad, you know, run can really knock you out. But I think Harvick and Logano should make it simply also because of how easy they can rattle off a couple wins too.
That's kind of the reason I think Harvick's as close to a lock as you get, because Phoenix is one of the final three races.
Yeah.
I mean, if there's anybody that's a lock at a racetrack right now, more than Johnson at Dover is Harvick at Phoenix.
Certainly. And then, I don't know if I'm really sold on Kenseth right now. He's been running great recently. Not going to throw that out the window. JGR has been running great, and he's the most senior guy there. But I'm not convinced that this system really fits Matt Kenseth's style. I'm 100% sure I could be wrong. I'd be happy to be wrong for all you Kenseth fans out there listening to this. I don't know if I can count out Jimmy Johnson. I just don't know if you can ever count out Jimmy Johnson.
No, you can't count him out.
That team has been... They've been kind of flying under the radar. I know that they haven't been running that great, but we've seen this show before. This year reminds me so much of 2010. 2010. I mean, Denny Hamlin and Kevin Harvick entered that chase really looking to be the guys to beat. Johnson was really off the radar. I mean, and he didn't even come alive until late in that chase. And then he ended up coming out on top. I see this being another scenario like that. I don't necessarily think Johnson's going to win the thing outright. But I see him making a deep run. I definitely see him getting to the final eight this year. I don't think he's going to stumble.
Oh, yeah. I don't think that's going to be a problem.
I think Talladega, when you take a look at Talladega, I don't think you can count out Junior. He has been money at the plate tracks recently.
And, right, and that's another reason
That's his Phoenix.
I put him in the final. And then if you – again, you got Talladega in there, could end up being a non-chase guy.
Yeah, you
I
know,
mean, and then that opens up two slots in a Final Four for points, which just makes it even more interesting.
And I'm not counting out Jeff Gordon either. After everything that happened last season, I think he, more than anybody right now, I think has a really good sense of what needs to be done to get into this chase. I could see Gordon having a Newman-like run into that final. I really could see that. I mean, he's kind of just been floating around 8th to 10th, and if enough guys have trouble, you know, he could kind of it be the equivalent of, you know, a 6 or a 7 seed kind of cruising their way into the Final Four in the NCAA tournament courtesy of a 1 or a 2 seed getting knocked out on a fluke game or something like that. I could see Gordon doing it just by consistency. But right now, I'm going to say Logano, Harvick. That third spot, I'm going to say Kurt Busch, and a lot of people forgot about Kurt heading into this, but he's been really consistent. He's been running up front. I think SHR is going to come back. Logano, Harvick, Busch, and I think that last spot is going to go to a Hendrick Carr. I see this JGR domination coming undone once we get into
the game. So you're thinking JGR gets nobody in the Final Four?
I think they're peaking at the wrong time. That's how.
Wow.
That's how I'm looking at it.
Let me say it this way: if it plays out that way, you are a genius.
I think they're going to make a deep run
on the podcast before we go into the finals.
Oh, absolutely, and I'll stick by that until we get to the final here. I'll stick by it. I think you're going to see Logano, Harvick have been strong for the past two seasons. They won early. And that's another thing you got to remember. These JGR cars, some of them had to step up late in the season just to bone up on some wins and stuff where the Penske and SHR camps were pretty much set earlier in the year. And Hendricks had a lot of time to sit back on their notes, review things, and get some speed back. Like I said, I've seen this before. 2011, Kyle Busch entered the 2011 chase on fire that year, and he ended up not even participating, I don't think, in the last two races, if I remember correctly.
Yep.
So that can just go to show, I'd like to think Kyle's not in a state right now where he's just going to self-destruct, but I'm not convinced that the Kyle Busch show is going to continue all the way to the final this year. And I just don't know if Hamlin, I see that knee becoming an issue. Edwards hasn't really been consistent. Kenseth's probably got the best shot, like you said, but I just don't know if this championship format fits him. I definitely see Busch and Kenseth getting to that final eight. But I think, like I said, you're going to see Logano, Harvick, Busch, and maybe in one Hendrick car. I'd be glad to be wrong. I'm glad to be proven wrong. Another one you can't forget about either is Keselowski, too. This chase format, yeah, I think, really suits a guy like him. He's a hard-nosed guy. He's a guy that has proven in the past that he can step up in the clutch, which is not something a lot of guys can do. It's only something that very recently the sport of NASCAR has even really tested. And Keselowski has pretty consistently come out of that with flying colors. So all told, I think it's a really intriguing chase. I can't wait personally. I think this is going to be awesome. I'm really excited for it. And I kind of just want to get to that first round because the first round is like the three, you know, least exciting tracks. But man, once we get to I believe the fourth race is what I think it's Charlotte, right? I think that fourth race is at Charlotte. I think from there on, it's going to be an absolute dogfight. I'm very, very excited, which kind of brings me to my next point. What's your forecast on the quality of racing here going forward?
I mean, we're still dealing with the 2015 package, brother. I feel like we're going to have – I mean, Homestead isn't a typical intermediate mile-and-a-half track, so I kind of feel like that one could potentially overcome a little bit. But Charlotte's a night race on a mile-and-a-half track.
Yep.
It will be horrid. It will be a horrid race. Whoever gets out front will walk away with it and win it.
Yep, just like sure.
Chicago will be – again, it'll be similar. I like the fact that the track's worn out a little bit, so we may see tires come into play a little bit there. But yeah, just the mile and a half tracks, I just don't feel like we're going to see anything different than we've seen all year, unfortunately. Which, again, is part of why I'm leaning towards Kyle Busch. I just feel like I said it when this package was announced that it was Kyle Busch's championship to win just because of the tapered spacer and the aero package just sets up for his style of racing, which is why he's dominated Xfinity and truck so much. And I feel like he's going to ride that kind of momentum. And part of it will be kind of neat to see him finally win a race at Charlotte, which I do predict. He's won truck and Xfinity there a bunch, but he's never won a cup race at Charlotte. And I think that really eats at him. And I think we're going to see him step up and win that race this time to kind of propel him on the way. But yeah, as far as the other stuff, we all know that Talladega will just be a total crapshoot. And like you said, Earnhardt Jr.'s been on fire on that. I mean, it's almost gotten to DEI levels.
It has.
And I could see him just waltzing with that one at Talladega to send himself into the final. As I said, Dover, Johnson will win. Phoenix, Harvick will win. I think those are a given. So that leaves us Martinsville. I think it would be a cool story to see Jeff Gordon win Martinsville to advance to the next round. In reality, I think you'll see Jimmy Johnson win it. Again, because as you said, we can't count him out. And
he's coming back, man.
Yeah. The way it looks, I'm with you. I feel like it may be a little slower this year than it has been in the past, but as I've said before, this first round in the chase really is a layup. You really have to screw up bad,
yeah,
if you're somebody that's a true championship contender, which I feel like they are, to not make it out of the first round. So I don't know that they're feeling that much pressure yet. It's I think the only real wild card, as you kind of mentioned it, is Loudon. You know, well, I mean, Talladega is obviously a wild card, but Loudon's the only other one that we really don't kind of know what's probably going to happen. I think anybody could go in there out of anybody in the chase and win that race.
Yeah, I think from a quality of racing perspective, I think it's going to be very similar to last year. The one thing that I am excited about as far as the slate of tracks that we have coming up is with this 2015 package, there have been a few tracks, mile and a half tracks, which have seen, I'm not even going to say improvement, but at least maintained what we saw last year. Texas was actually one of them. The number of passes was actually up at Texas in the 2015 spring race over the 2014 spring race, believe it or not. Was actually a pretty decent race. Atlanta was another track, which is not in the chase, but I think was actually a better show, 2015 to 2014. So while the 15 package has definitely hurt the racing overall, I think there's some tracks where it's at least maintained or helped. And a lot of these chase tracks, coincidentally, I think are in that conversation. Martinsville is Martinsville no matter what. Talladega is a different style of package no matter what. Any of the weathered older surfaces, for whatever reason, with this 2015 package seem to be, you know, maintained and sometimes have more passing with the new package. And Chicagoland is a very weathered track. It put on a really good show last year. I can see that being actually a pretty competitive race. Could end up going either way. We've seen races there where it's runaway with the lead car just completely breaks away, like 2013. I think it has the potential to at least be on par with last year. Kansas, I thought, if you actually look at some of the loop data, had more passing this year than the spring race last year. So that could end up being okay. It's also a daytime race. So Homestead, again, it's similar situation to Chicagoland. This package, I think, is going to be okay there. I don't think it's going to hurt the racing there. Charlotte, like you said, though, is the one that I think fans are going to have to circle on their calendar as one that they kind of just have to hold their breath and just kind of get through that one, because I think that one could be kind of rough. Charlotte, for whatever reason, I mean, for reasons that I'm aware of and you're aware of, is a track that suffers with this particular package for a number of different reasons. But
keeping the fingers crossed that they'll pull a rabbit out of the hat and actually bring tires that fall off really bad there, and then we may get some decent racing again, but not holding the breath.
Yeah, I'm not holding my breath on that one. Kansas could be, you know, hit or miss too. But other than that, Texas, I think, should be a pretty decent race. Phoenix is, you know, it's just kind of Phoenix. It doesn't really change too much from package to package. So I think there's a couple of races that I got circled. I think this Sunday's race at Chicagoland is going to be a really interesting show. Talladega is going to be, I think, absolutely wild. I actually was just rewatching last year's race earlier today just for some, stat tracking research purposes. And that was a hell of a race last year. And if we see one contender or two who's out of it entering that race, someone like a Johnson or a Keselowski, that could just be another dogfight this year. I'm really excited for that one. I think Martinsville will be great, and I think those last three races are going to be a dogfight. What I guess this leaves us with here, who's your champion?
I'm sticking to my guns. I said it when they announced the deal, and I'm riding it to the end. I think this is Kyle Busch's championship to lose. I just think this tapered spacer with this aero package is so much like the trucks in the Xfinity series, and he has shown over the years. I know he's racing against different caliber people, but even running against Cup drivers, he excels more than anybody else. And I feel like it's his championship to lose. And until some major disaster knocks him out like Talladega, which, by the way, I can promise you one thing. If nothing else is a certainty in this chase, Kyle Busch will not be riding at the back at Talladega this year. I promise you that.
I don't think anyone's going to be making that mistake last year, because there was at least four or five of them that almost got burned because of that last year.
Absolutely. So, yeah, I am still sticking to my guns. I think Kyle Busch is the one to beat until he is somehow knocked out of this deal.
Yeah, I think much like last year, it's going to come down to the 22 and the 4. For the most part, if you take a look at the season as a whole, have been the strongest two cars all season. They really played last year's chase better than anybody else did. This year, I think it's going to be Logano's. He's been running a little bit better than Harvick has recently. He's been just as good as the JGR cars. And Penske, over the past couple of years, has been a bit more consistent. So I have a little bit more faith in the Penske organization over a long-term projection like we have for these next 10 races. And Logano has been on point. I mean, from the moment the green flag dropped at Daytona this year, I think Daytona in the 500 was one of the best races he has ever driven in his career. I see this being Joey Logano's championship. I think he learned how to lose one last year, and he's gonna get his first one, and I think it could be the start of a lot of championships for him. But we'll see. Like I said, I think there's about 8 or 9 guys that could win it. But I see your champion being the 22. I see your runner-up going to be Harvick. I think Johnson's third. And like I said, I put Kurt Busch as your last pick there at fourth. But I'm excited. I think fans have a lot to be excited about. Another really cool part of this year's chase is 5 out of the 10 races are going to be on broadcast over-the-air network TV on NBC, which is great for the sport. That should help the ratings a ton. I think we got a lot to look forward to. I think it's going to be a very interesting and exciting 10 weeks, but we'll see. Any final thoughts?
I mean, everybody knows I'm not a fan of the chase, but we saw it last year, and I feel positive we'll see it again this year. The intensity is going to be ramped up. I just hope it's mostly ramped up because of the racing and not by bogus debris cautions and late race restarts. I hope people are really intense about it because the racing is really good. The possibilities there, I think next year is going to be even cooler. But
yeah, oh yeah.
There's going to be a lot to talk about, that's for sure. And I hope, the one thing I hope when we get to Homestead and a checkered flag flies, we don't feel like we got cheated. We came really close to feeling like we got cheated last year, but we didn't. So I'm hoping the same thing happens again this year.
Certainly. Well, folks, you heard it here. The picks are in. And the first race in the chase will be this Sunday at 2 o'clock at the MyAFibRisk.com 400 on NBCSN. Catch all the action. But for now, we'll just have to wait. Matt Stalnick, signing off for Mike Neff. We'll catch you next time.
Peace out.